Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, there's always something worthy of praise. And St. Paul says we should think about these things. That's what he encourages us to do. But Paul was a communicator, so I'm assuming he would have enjoyed seeing us talk about these things as well. That is certainly what we do on Call Me Catholic. We talk about the good, the just, and the excellent. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times so you can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my steadfast engineer and chief fact checker, is sitting across from me as he is every Saturday, ready at the controls.
Good morning, Catholic.
But this isn't just any Saturday. This isn't just every other Saturday, is it,
no,
Jimmy G?
No, very unique day indeed, yes.
This is Holy Saturday.
Yes.
And if you would like to participate in our studio today, be a guest audience member in our studio, you can go to our Facebook page and join Jimmy G and me and our guests in the studio. You go to facebook.com/callmecatholic, and then you just click on the link that Marvelous Matt, our call screener, is going to put up there for you. It will take you right to a page where you can watch a live stream of the show.
And if you are so inclined to like our page, we are very close to 1,500. And I like those milestones. So help us get
a little over a year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Jimmy G's our chief fact checker, engineer, and cheerleader.
And number watcher.
Number watcher. Well, we appreciate having our family and logging in with us since it has fringe benefits. You can watch our show live.
Exactly.
You know, but not everybody watches us near a computer. A lot of people are driving. A lot of people listen to podcasts. And I want to mention one other thing. We're going to let you call in if you have some questions or comments for our guests today. But if you are listening to the evening show on Saturday, you will not be able to call in. So I think sometimes people may be calling in and our studio is empty. So I'm sorry. It's only the earlier broadcast at 1 p.m. Eastern where you get to call in. Hey, Jimmy G and I are coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the stunning, expansive Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. This is the Diocese of Orange, governed by our Good Shepherd, Bishop Kevin Vann. Walking out of the campus this morning, I was thinking, wouldn't this be a cool place to stage an Easter egg hunt?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the statuary, all the little markers, the grass, the buildings.
It would be
cubbies.
Epic.
It would be epic. Well, you know, the President of the United States always has an Easter, he calls it the egg roll.
Right.
The Monday after Easter. And they have all kinds of live action characters. When I worked for Mattel Toys, I actually took one of our He-Man Master of the Universe to the White House for the Easter egg roll. Yeah.
We've got to do a show on that sometime.
Well, I would think it would be fun to have Bishop Vann do an Easter. I'm going to have to suggest that to them. I think that would be fun. I'd like to hide the eggs. I'm very good
at that.
That
is so cool, though, just to be able to say you worked at Mattel Toys.
I did work at Mattel Toys. I was a spokesperson for Barbie and for He-Man Master of the Universe.
Awesome.
I have to put a little copyright after that. Yeah, that was fun. But for another show, though, Jimmy G.
Another day.
The Easter season is indeed full of happy and joyful traditions and celebrations. And we finally get to say Alleluia. Alleluia. Mm. Yeah, we've been quiet on that for a while. But we are not quite there yet. We're still in the sacred Triduum, and Holy Saturday is a unique and a very special day of transition between the anguish and the deep penetrating sorrow of Good Friday and the jubilation of Easter Sunday. It's kind of a day of unknowing and unknowing the future and yet seeing the possibility, of course. And I particularly like to dwell on the apostles on this day. They were on the cusp of becoming saints, aren't we all? Mm. Now, they couldn't have fully grasped what lay ahead for them, these average men of ordinary stock. They weren't statesmen or wealthy entrepreneurs. They were common men with an extraordinary charter, and that is the stuff of saints. Now, we're going to dig deeper into the stuff of saints today in honor of those first saints and martyrs in our church, because God continues to form saints out of ordinary stock. In fact, that's what we're all called to be, and we're all pretty ordinary until we fully marry our will to God's will for us. And then the extraordinary can happen. Our guest today have made a powerful and wholly unique series of short films on just that subject, Jimmy G. The Norbertine priests of St. Michael's Abbey here in Orange County introduced their original film series called City of Saints last week. And each week through the Easter season, they will introduce through the internet the next installment of these stunning little true stories about the saints among us and the saints before us. Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer from the Norbertine community of Canons Regular were instrumental players in the production of City of Saints, and they are here in the studio with us today on Holy Saturday to talk about this unique artistic endeavor. They will be up in a minute, and then we'll have the director of the series, the very talented, very respected Charles Kinane, with us to share his perspective on the making of City of Saints. This is compelling stuff. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. In the far outreach of a ministry like this, we have no idea how God can really use something like
this. Well, and this order of priests is all that. So I would have expected nothing less from them. Okay, but first up, we have our Call Me Catholic countdown of the week, which, in keeping with the season, is going to be the top five symbols of Easter, which you'll be seeing a lot of this weekend. Now, you know, the secular world has hijacked a lot of our religious imagery and mainstreamed it. I'm just saying angels, for example, which is fine. You know, we're happy to share. But let's not lose sight of the origin of these popular seasonal symbols and maybe talk about them. And maybe just take a moment to honor the meaning behind some of these common sights at Easter time. So here we go. The top five symbols of Easter and their meaning.
Okay. The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
We're going to change that music one of these days.
That music's a little more appropriate today, I guess.
You know, it's a little hopped up.
A little hopped up. Maybe I could slow it down.
I want a choir. Okay. I want a choir, Jimmy G.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Something like that. Yeah, we'll work on that. Okay, so my number five, we start from the bottom and move up. My number five would be the butterfly. Now, we think of the butterfly as a beautiful, you know, symbol of spring, and it is indeed a springtime symbol. But a butterfly is really also a very elegant metaphor for Christ's life. So you have the beginning of it, which is the caterpillar on the ground, which is Christ's life on earth. Then you have the cocoon, which is the death of Christ when he is buried in the tomb, hidden from sight. And then the emergence of the glorious butterfly who takes flight with all its magnificent designs and coloring. It's quite an apt symbol for Christ. So next time you see a butterfly, let your prayer rise up to heaven.
Excellent.
Okay, number four would be the Easter basket. Now, tomorrow, colorful Easter baskets of all variety will hold lots of sweets and treats for kids. But originally, you know, Christians abstained quite dramatically from rich foods, sometimes completely abstaining from meat and dairy during Lent. They ate very meagerly in the early days. And then on Easter Sunday, they would prepare a great feast, and they would bring their basket of food and ingredients to the Easter Mass to be blessed before they began their indulgence. Well, I mean, that's one version of it.
I'm the fact checker. I'll have to look that up.
These traditions all have kind of a lot of stories and themes that go behind them. But nevertheless, that's a good one. Okay, so number three is the Easter lily. Most glorious flower, most dramatically associated with the Easter season. And of course, the lily, the white lily, is about as pure white as a flower can get. And of course, that symbolizes the purity of Jesus. And the flower emerges from the ground in spring, as did Christ. Okay, so I think the Easter lily, next time you see an Easter lily or bring it into your home, I say a little prayer for the risen Lord.
You are really painting the word pictures this morning.
Am I working on the Easter imagery? Okay, so number two would be the lamb. Of course, we have the Pascha. The lambs are always associated. You see little lambs in all kinds of Easter scenes. But the lamb is our Paschal lamb, originally and always will be our Paschal lamb, the Lamb of God. You know, and it goes back to the Old Testament time of the Passover, when the freshly slaughtered pure lamb, was the blood of it was supposed to be on the doorpost. And that way they were passed over. They were identified as God's children. So that may be a very elementary version of it. But the Lamb of God is certainly an image of Easter. And then number one would be Easter eggs. So there's so many stories about Easter eggs and why eggs are associated with Easter. And of course, the most apt would be St. Augustine, who first described Christ's resurrection from the dead as a chick bursting from an egg. which is perfect imagery, you know, in the shell and then bursting from the shell, new life. But also there is a lot of great stories that Mary Magdalene carried an egg to Caesar, picked up an egg around Caesar.
And those weren't plastic eggs.
No, those weren't. And she was trying to show it as a symbol of Christ's resurrection. And Caesar said, you know, the possibility of someone being dead and then rising again to life is about as feasible as that egg turning red. And guess what? It turned red.
No.
There's a story about that. There's another story that says Simon of Cyrene was carrying a basket of eggs when Jesus passed him on the Via Dolorosa, on his passion, and he put the basket of eggs down to help Jesus with the cross, and when he came back, the eggs had turned red. So red is the most colorful, actually the original color of the Easter egg in many other cultures. Okay, so there you have it, just a friendly reminder to keep the Christ in Christmas and talk about these Christian traditions as we enjoy the fun of the season and decor of Easter. Stories, my friends, are a wonderful way of imparting truths through imagery. Speaking of telling stories, Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer, two Norbertine priests from St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, are here to talk about their extraordinary series of stories told through short films, City of Saints, debuting this Easter on an internet near you. Before we bring them on, you have just enough time to go to our Facebook page and give us a like or join our family. But mostly we want you to just stay with us on this Holy Saturday edition of Call Me Catholic. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
We're back.
What was that? Those were some funny sounds coming out of the radio.
It's a software issue.
Board over there. Okay. I thought somebody was trying to play the banjo. Okay. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Call Me Catholic. Happy Holy Saturday to you. I am Peggy Normandin. And today we are keeping company with the apostles as they wait and wonder and perhaps shiver a little bit at what is to come. They are saints waiting for their marching orders. How could they know what God was to ask of them? Well, how can any of us know, right? Well, today we're going to explore that subject with two priests from the Norbertine community of St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, California, here in the Diocese of Orange. Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer were instrumental players in the original new film series, City of Saints, produced by the Norbertine Fathers of St. Michael's Abbey and debuting this Easter season, a most unique and contemporary form of evangelization from a very traditional order of priests. Father Norbert, Father Chrysostom, thank you for coming into our studio on Holy Saturday and welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Okay, so Father Chrysostom, I'm going to throw the opening lob to you. Please summarize what City of Saints is, because I can't compare it to anything.
What City of Saints is? It's a series of seven episodes, each episode about 5, 6, 7 minutes long, to show the viewer how God's providence works right now, today, in your lives, through the intercession of the saints.
Okay. So it is seven different short films.
Yes.
That are available, Father Norbert, through?
Through the internet.
Through the internet.
It's cityofsaints.com. You just go on cityofsaints.com and you put in your email. And each one of those wonderful, inspirational, true stories will be sent to your box, your email box, on the Monday that it premieres. One has already premiered last Monday,
right,
and there are six to go, including the next one, the second one, this coming Monday, Easter Monday.
There is no fee. So we want to get all these disclaimers out up front, because people won't think that we're trying to sell something here. This is just a fantastic, original, inspiring, compelling series of stories that were produced by a fantastic director who we're going to talk to in the next segment, but available for Catholics all around the world, really.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to share with our listeners the intro trailer, how it looks. There's these images of a handful of scenes from life, you know, tender, heartbreaking, joyful moments kind of that flash through the screen. And the narrator's voice says this. He says, St. Paul mentions that we're in the arena of life, like a champion set to run his course, and that we have a cloud of witnesses cheering for us, encouraging us, interceding for us. And then the words on the screen say, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. I love that. Is that quote attributable to anybody?
Absolutely, St. Augustine.
Oh, that's St. Augustine.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Truer words were never spoken by St. Augustine. So, Father Norbert, the kernel for inspiration for this is to really show modern-day stories of saints in the making, and then you correlate it with a saint from the past?
Correct. And in each story, there is a true situation where people that we know in our ministry have really inspired us. But there was always a ray from heaven, so to speak, that opened. And there's a real connection to a specific saint from above in each one of the stories. So it's really an amazing, it's just all woven together. And so, yeah, we are inspired by one another, but we're also looking up as well to the communion of saints above.
So when you were compiling these, and I assume you wanted to get seven stories to go with the 7 weeks of Easter, how did you begin to collect them from within your community? Was there like a all call for good stories?
That's exactly what we did. We said, listen, we've had so many wonderful stories. We've been telling them to each other and to a limited audience for years. So would all the priests think of some of their most inspiring stories where there's a connection to a saint and submit them? And I think about 20, 30 were submitted for the first season.
And then you had a panel of people?
Yes, exactly. And then they slowly whittled them down to these seven.
And they all involve a member of your community, a priest.
At least one member of the community, sometimes two, but usually one.
Okay. You know, let's talk first of all, too, so that our listeners can put this in context, about the Norbertine Order. Now, I first became aware of the Norbertines when a priest came to serve at our parish for several years. And he was, an associate pastor during that time. So these priests have a monastery in Orange County, and I can't tell you how now I am aware how much they have blessed our community. They wear long white robes. They are an order of regular canons, or sometimes they have black capes over them too, like Father Norbert has on this morning to keep himself worn. But you have a unique look, but you have a unique charism too. And which one of you would like to sort of introduce that to our listeners who aren't familiar with the Norbertines?
I'll take a shot at it. The Norbertines are canons regular, so we seek to do all the things that priests do, whatever the church needs us to do. But we come from this context of a monastic life, a common life of prayer, common residence, common meals. So everything that goes into the common life, then we take the spirituality that flows from that and we try to pour it out onto the faithful in whatever walk of life we happen to encounter them.
Well, the Norbertine priests, from a layperson's perspective, are particularly gifted at teaching the faith. I've never met a Norbertine who doesn't know the faith. He doesn't waver on it. He knows it unequivocally, and he can impart it very persuasively. And I think part of the persuasion comes, I say that when you see a Norbertine walking on, it's kind of like a weather front, because they have the long white robes, and you know something's going to change in that situation. That you have a powerful presence. And I think part of the strength comes from this beautiful religious life that you remain committed to.
Yes.
And diocesan priests have a little more of a free-flowing lifestyle. I mean, not to their discredit, but I think that you bring a different gift for having that monastery life.
And the white habit has a great Easter connection, because St. Norbert said, We wear white because the angels who announced the resurrection of Christ at his tomb were wearing white. And that's our mission, is to get out there and to help people understand what it means that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
That's beautiful. Well, it is. You really do notice that. And I notice that Norbertine priests are always in habit. You rarely see them in what we call free dress. But so speaking of that, Father Norbert, the first story, which was introduced last week, was called The Good Thief. And it actually featured you as the storyteller, sharing something an encounter that you had at Joplin Juvenile Institute while you were counseling there. So here is a priest out there in a youth facility making an impact. So tell me how, you know, that story came to pass.
Well, I meet so many kids in the facility there, and through mass, confessions, counseling. And this particular boy, Alex, was really hungry and looking for somebody, first of all, to listen to him. I said to him after one of our first meetings, I said, "You really love to talk." And he said, "Not really, but I just don't find many people that listen."
Oh.
So that was very important. Mm-hmm. And we struck up a good relationship. He really wanted to become Catholic and be baptized. He was raised in a nominal Catholic family, but never received the sacraments. So he saw Mass, he saw First Communion, he got really excited. And so we put him into our program, teaching, getting him instructed, et cetera. Of course, he got out before he could be baptized, and we weren't permitted to baptize in the institution. And everything was going great. And then one night, on Holy Saturday, this day, I received a call from his cell phone. And I thought, what is Alex calling me on Holy Saturday for? I answered, and it was his mother from UCI Medical Center saying that Alex had been shot and that it didn't look good. So I rushed to the hospital, and I was able to fulfill Alex's dream to be baptized and confirmed and receive his first Holy Eucharist. And the most beautiful thing about the whole celebration was he was already losing consciousness, not able to respond. But when he was baptized, a single tear rolled down his cheek. Mm-hmm. And it was like, thank you.
Wow. Yeah. By the way, listeners, we're speaking with Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer from the Norbertine community of St. Michael's Abbey. Their order has produced this remarkable series of short films called City of Saints that we're talking about today. It's going to debut. Each segment will debut each week during the Easter season. And if you would like to join the conversation, if you have comments or questions for our two esteemed priests this morning, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. I'm sure they would love to field your questions. Father Norbert, telling us the complete story of the Good Thief show, the first installment, which you called The Good Thief, is in no way a spoiler alert, because it's the artistry of the whole, the way it's told, that just makes you sort of, brings you to a different level of just the facts of the story. And then you correlate it, of course, with the good thief on the cross,
yes,
next to Jesus.
And it's not never really said anywhere in the episode, but Alex becomes a good thief himself because he manages to steal heaven, like St. Dismas. So the correlation between the two of them is amazing.
So did his family cooperate in allowing you to retell this story?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. His father, who abandoned him when he was very small, is out of the picture. But his mother and his siblings and his friends and some of the guys from the hood were so excited to do anything to honor the memory of their beloved Alex.
Yeah. You know, dealing with the death of a young person in a seven-minute film is really hard to do without kind of, you know, resorting to cliches. And it doesn't do any of that.
No.
It just speaks the truth. It lays the facts out there, and it lets the viewer sort of deduce the truth there,
right,
which was really beautiful.
And we had help because we Norbertines know how to tell a story from the pulpit, but we don't know how to put something into a magnificent film. And that's what Charles can tell us about in a little bit.
Yes, and we're going to be speaking with the director, Charles Kinane, after the break, and he will give us his artistic vision, because it is really unique how they achieved this. Father Chrysostom, you were able to participate in telling one of the stories as well. That's one of the ones coming up.
It's on St. Cecilia, The Language of Heaven.
The Language of Heaven.
Language of Heaven.
And it deals with your music.
Yes, we sing Gregorian chant at St. Michael's Abbey as part of the inheritance, the patrimony of the church, in an attempt to worship God with greater dignity. That's a challenge nowadays, as people have encountered at all sorts of different churches throughout the world, that just church music just isn't quite what it used to be, what it should be.
Well, the Norbertine priests have such a remarkable choir that they've actually performed their Gregorian chant at Segerstrom Center, our beautiful performing arts center here. So they are world class.
And this is the director.
This is the chant director of
St. Michael's.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Did you learn to chant when you came to St. Michael's, or did you have an experience with it beforehand?
I barely sang a note before I entered.
No, really?
It's true, yes.
Well, that's, you know, you're singing a cappella when you do Gregorian chant.
Yes, yes, we are.
Wow, so this was just something, a new talent you discovered.
It was a gift from God. It really was.
Wow, yes. That's quite remarkable. Well, we're going to hear more about that in the Language of Heaven, which is one of the installments coming up in the City of Saints, this new series that the Norbertine Fathers are bringing to us during the Easter season. If you would like to jump into our conversation, the number is 714-282-6034. That is 714-282-6034. We're speaking with Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer from the Norbertine community of St. Michael's Abbey. So stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to speak with the director of St. Michael's Abbey. Jimmy's giving me some hand signals that are throwing me up. We're going to speak with the director of City of Saints.
I'm trying to throw you.
This is a world-class director who has really received great acclaim for his documentary work. His name is Chuck Kinane, Charles Kinane. He's done a beautiful series of films all on kind of the human experience. So he is an outstanding gifted storyteller. And if you want to jump into the conversation, we'll hear your story too. The number is 714-282-6034. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. It's almost Easter Sunday. I'm Peggy Normandin. And, well, it's only Holy Saturday, and that's as close as we can get on Call Me Catholic. But Holy Saturday has its own unique spiritual properties. It's a day of quiet expectation. And we're hanging with the apostles as they dwell in possibility and probably a bit of confusion. We're also hanging with Father Norbert Wood and Father Chrysostom Baer from St. Michael's Abbey, who have been sharing lots of fascinating insight about a unique series of short films based on true stories that are debuting this Easter. City of Saints, and you can access it on the internet with cityofsaints.com. is a production of the Norbertine Fathers of St. Michael's Abbey, and it's directed by the very talented, very respected Charles Kinane from Kinane Films. Charles Kinane is an American film director who has produced and directed multiple award-winning, really highly acclaimed short and feature-length documentary films, most notably God in the Streets, The Human Experience, Child 31, and now City of Saints. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Charles.
Thank you, Peggy. Thank you so much for having me.
You're here with Father Norbert and Father Chrysostom, who star in a couple of your short films from City of Saints, right?
Yes. Hello, Father Norbert. Hello, Father Chrysostom.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Okay, so off the bat, in addition to City of Saints, I just have to say that I am a huge fan of Just Keep Swimming. That is...
Thank you, Peggy.
A beautiful little short that I would... How can our listeners access that? Just go to Charles Kinane Films, I guess, right?
Sure, they could see it on Kinane Films, or they could search for Just Keep Swimming on Facebook.
We have
the short on Facebook, so...
You have to be in charge of the pro-life movement in America. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. Well, it's really a story that's traveled, you know, all around the world, because it is such a powerful story, and when the Norbertines initially contacted us, one of the reasons we were so excited to be a part of the project is they just wanted to tell good stories.
Yeah.
And that was the main goal, and to share these amazing personal stories of theirs. So that's why we were so excited to join them on this great adventure here.
Hey, so Charles, did you have a chance to screen the different possible scenarios for the stories? Because Father Norbert told us that maybe there were 30 different stories submitted, and I'm sure that's just a sampling of the stories that the Norbertine Fathers have to share. But did you take a look at them and say, this is film worthy, or this one isn't so much?
You know, we did. The Norbertines have an amazing team working with them, you know, Shane Giblin and Annie Pham and Casey Cook, and they were able to get the fathers, you know, the fathers are so busy with
sacraments and stuff,
basically creating these stories. Yeah, all these stories are very personal to them, and they were able to collect a very good number. And then together we went through and kind of picked the ones that really stuck out. But there's so many of them, so we're really hoping to. We're only telling a few here in the first couple films, seven to start with. But there's so many of them, and they're so powerful, and they've really affected us, the whole crew here. We still can't get these people out of our hearts and out of our minds. And so we're just so blessed that they're going to be shared with the rest of the world.
Yeah. So did you film all of these in Southern California, or did you have to travel for any of these film segments?
We did. We filmed the majority in Southern California, where the Norbertines are, in Orange County. One of the stories actually took us to France, to Barreux in France, and to Nîmes, where we tell the story. Father Norbert may have mentioned this incredible architect who is designing the new St. Michael's Abbey.
That's the last one, right?
The last one, the final one, yeah. And we had a wonderful time with Jean-Louis and Françoise and in France. And then we also traveled to to meet Father Norwood's family in Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Is that, are they coming, are they going to be featured in a segment coming up?
Yes, The Unexpected Gift. And I do want to say, because Chuck would probably not admit it, but they were present in my brother's home for 2 days filming, and also on the road a little bit. And to this day, everybody in that family, no matter how old or young, they were so touched by the kindness, the goodness. They were really inspired by Chuck.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, his work is inspirational. So Chuck, I want to ask you this. When somebody tells you a story that they have experienced, it's very hard to get down to the essence of it. I mean, there are you want to fill in so many details. So do you film a lot and then pare it down? Because these films are all about 7 minutes. Does the story begin to make itself manifest in the filming, or do you have it scripted before you begin?
We try to. A lot of our storytelling is we're using some of the same storytelling principles that Aristotle laid out, thousands of years ago. So they're, we're looking for stories with characters who we can empathize with and empathize with their struggle, but also, stories, they have to have that cathartic moment that moves us. And mm-hmm. And these stories are so much more complex than what we can,
of course,
get into 6 or 7 minutes. So we really, it's just a matter of trying to tell them truthfully and very simply. But yeah, there's so many layers. I mean, we could do a 2-hour film on Father Norbert's family in Minnesota.
Okay, well, that, for another year then. Get your listeners hooked on these 7-minute ones and then go to the 2-hour feature film.
I know. But.
Well, any surprises, Chuck, along the way? So once you started filming a story, so like, for example, because Father Norbert's film has already shown last week, the one where he develops a relationship with the young man from the Joplin Juvenile Institute.
Right.
As you begin to film that, does something reveal itself that you think, wow, I had a surprise here. I wasn't expecting that.
That's usually the case with everything. I think we have one idea going in, a total surprise, and I think it's really a testament to the beautiful people who have opened their lives and their own struggles, and they've opened them up to us. And it's a very hard thing to do, to put a camera. I think people kind of glamorize the whole filmmaking process, but especially with documentaries, it's a very, I don't know. Yeah, I can't think.
It's a bit gritty. I mean, it's hard work. It's a lot of labor to get that 1 minute of good film, too.
Yeah, it's difficult to sit someone down and say, "Hey, share with us one of the darkest times in your life." And yeah. And that's really what these people were so generous. I mean, not only Father Norbert's family, but all the families that we spent time with. They were so generous to us, and really, we're so grateful for the generosity of everyone involved, and they really wouldn't have been generous to us. We're just the filmmakers, but they were generous because of the fathers, because of Father Norbert, Father Christopher.
Because of the Norbertines.
The Norbertines.
Right.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Charles Kinane. He is an award-winning, very highly respected documentary filmmaker, and his most recent project is City of Saints, which was produced by the Norbertine Fathers, and he directed this series of 7 short stories, short true stories, that are debuting each Monday during the Easter season. You can access them by going to cityofsaints.com. Please do, because you will not be disappointed. So, Chuck, did you ever come across people that you're filming, and in documentaries, you can take your microphone up and say, can you tell me the story, or how did you feel, or can you talk about this? And they just freeze up. I mean, not many people are comfortable with cameras and microphones around them.
No, and nobody is really, including myself.
But you're always behind the camera.
Yeah, exactly. But and something I mentioned to Father Norbert in the beginning was that I think Father witnesses, on some of our days of filming, sometimes it could take an hour for somebody to become comfortable and but then the other times it just comes out. People just, it just pours out. They want to share what's happened to them and how God has moved incredibly in their lives and the saints. Mm-hmm.
And then in the story, you have to, like, I can only refer back to Father, to the first one, which was The Good Thief, because that's the only one that's debuted. I didn't get any previews of anybody else. But you have to, in addition to the telling of the story, you have to interject just pictures of beauty or scenes that relate, but they're not specific to the story. I mean, that's where your artistry has to really kind of complete the story that cannot be told just by one person.
We really leave that up to God, honestly, because we were, you know, we were with Father Norbert and Alex's family for the prayer service at the cemetery. And all of a sudden it started to rain in Southern California. That's, I mean, it's very rare that we used to film them. And,
true.
And Jeffrey, one of our producers, who's really, I would say, Jeffrey Aziz, who I've worked with for many, many years now, and his son is actually the focus of the film, Just Keep Swimming, and his son Francis. But Jeffrey, you know, I was shooting something, you know, filming something, and Jeffrey yells, "Hey, you know, look over here," and we go around, and then there's this amazing, this backlit rain that, you know, as Father Norbert's really praying, you know, this mm-hmm. none of this was...
He wasn't fake praying?
It wasn't an act. It looks like a movie, but we were capturing kind of everything as it was happening. And
so you had little miracles along the way.
Yeah, it's incredible. So we can't take credit for any of that, any of that stuff.
Well, you are giving credit where credit is due, but I think God has entrusted you with a remarkable talent to tell stories. You know, guys, and I'm going to address all of you, including Jimmy G there. I recently saw this video that was that is actually used as a training video for Chick-fil-A. And it doesn't look like a training video, but they show all these customers walking in, just a huge variety of different people. And as that customer walks in and it's staged, the person slows down, and then a caption comes on that says, "Lost his mother 6 months ago."
I saw that, yeah.
And they put a little caption, stop the person, and then put a little caption under there, which tells you a little, you know, backstory. Like there's a couple sitting, eating, and they say, it stops, and it says, "Have been trying to have children, have just been diagnosed as being infertile." So the thing ends with saying, every person has a story. And I love that. Yeah. Which is another beautiful aspect of your film series, is that you don't look at people the same way when you realize everyone's bringing a story to this world and everyone's working through that story in the best way they can. I think it's a glorious task as a director to try to tell people's stories. It's better than fiction, really, don't you think, Chuck?
I really think so, and that's why we love documentaries, because they are featuring real people. And and something, you know, something Andrew Stanton, who was involved in the Just Keep Swimming story, there's a quote from him that, you know, he said that there's nobody you couldn't learn to love after hearing their story.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Father Chrysostom in the studio with us. Now, we have not seen Father Chrysostom's episode, which is called The Language of Heaven, but can you tell us any challenges that you faced? Did Father Chrysostom cooperate with you, Charles? Was he in good voice?
Well, he's pervy. He comes ready for the camera, so he, you know.
They're camera ready, these Norbertines, I tell you. Their hair's always combed. They always look well groomed.
Yeah.
Oh, but Chuck's kind of lying to you. So the first time we had two sessions of filming, the first time I was not voice ready. I was sick.
Oh.
And so my voice is noticeably lower than the second time filming. But he also mentioned how, you know, you have to go through a lot of warm-up and everything. Well, sometimes there are other difficulties as you're filming that you just have no control over. So we were sitting there trying to film this piece for St. Cecilia, and there's this ruckus going on down the hallway. Well, as it turned out, a rattlesnake got into our building.
Oh, my gosh.
And
well, they're out in the canyons, too, yes. Listeners. They're way out in the canyons of Orange County.
There's a tiny little baby rattlesnake, and so the seminarians kind of swept it out of the building, and they were, like, beating it to death with a rock or something, and some nearby women were screaming, and, you know, it was just quite a disaster.
I hope you got that on film, Chuck. That's a whole other kind of film.
It was a horror movie.
What was your favorite moment in the filming of all seven of these? What's a favorite moment, a favorite image that you conjure up right now?
For me?
Yeah, for you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask all three of them, actually, because you guys have seen them all the finished products. Yeah, so that our listeners out there who are trying to picture what this is, and I'm coming up short still of describing what a stunning concept this is and how well executed it is. What's a picture, a moment from one of these stories that you can describe that you are particularly pleased with?
Well, I'll go ahead and start.
you go ahead and start, Chuck, director.
Episode 2, which we're actually we're working on right now. We're putting the final touches on right now. The color and sound that'll be released on Monday. It's about Father Pascal, who he has this incredible story of his family fleeing Vietnam as Saigon fell. And we took the camera out one evening with Father Pascal, and it wasn't really anything planned. We just kind of grabbed the camera, and we asked him to, you know, say his prayers. And there's this beautiful little hill outside of the abbey that a lot of the fathers we noticed would walk up there and say their prayers. And I believe it's the Stations of the Cross are right there.
Right.
And we just kind of quietly followed Father Pascal up this little hill. And the sun had gone down, and the sun had gone down a while ago, so it's getting very dark. But the amazing colors in the clouds and the cross was there, and you had this beautiful priest who, you know, had just shared his story about his vocation story and fleeing Vietnam, and he was just sitting there in front of the cross, and we the whole crew, we were just, our jaws were wide open, you know, looking at this, this happened in front of us, and the clouds are climbing, you know, thousands of feet up in the sky. And so, I think for me, it was one of the images that just sticks out, really is burned into my mind, you know, is of these Norbertines. And they, you know, they do that every day. I mean, their whole, you know, I mean, they're working like crazy with people, you know, real people every day. But, you know, the prayer is such a massive, concrete, you know, part of their life.
And so to capture the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
The Norbertines are a very aesthetic order, aren't they? Their landscape out there in Silverado and their demeanor and everything, it really lends itself. Father Norbert, do you have a favorite moment?
Yes. Well, one that comes to mind, and I chose this before Chuck spoke, but I would also address the second episode coming out on Monday about Father Pascal.
Called The Blind Prayer.
Right. The Refugee.
The Refugee. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I've lived with Father Pascal for over 20 years, and we've been assigned in school and parish together, and I know Father Pascal. There's a window into his soul that was never opened to me before, and Chuck opened that window. So it's he has a beautiful, beautiful gift. And speaking of beautiful, beauty will save us. That's why aesthetics are important. Mm-hmm. And that's why we love Chuck. Beauty will save us in this ugly world in which we live. It's getting very ugly.
Imperishable beauty.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. So that one's coming up. Two comments here from participants noting this episode coming up on Monday called The Refugee. Father Chrysostom, do you have a favorite? I'm assuming your favorite moment is not when you lost voice.
No, I think when I lose my voice, that's the favorite moment of everybody else in the choir.
come on.
No, my favorite moment has to be in the last episode, the one about the architect. There is just a very brief scene where Chuck captured light falling across Father Jerome as he was sitting on a bench in a monastery in France. And it was just the serenity of the light and the solitude of Father Jerome and the peacefulness that was on his face. And then the camera pans to the light coming through the window, and seeing the light as the influence of the grace and the truth of Christ and its effect upon us, especially in the context of a monastery, that was really touching to me.
Mm. So lots of beautiful imagery, friends, to look forward to. So what do you hope that viewers will gather from this? Father Norbert, I'm going to ask you first. You know, you went to a lot of trouble to produce this. This is seven-minute original films, obviously shot around the world. What do you hope listeners or viewers will derive from these?
Peggy, I'm glad you used the word hope. What do I hope? Because we live in a world where people are losing hope. Really. I mean, it's getting difficult to follow the Lord. And so our hope for these videos, these episodes, these beautiful stories, is to rekindle hope in the hearts of God's children and give everybody the hope and the courage they need to get up and keep moving forward with God's help and with the help of the saints.
And Charles, did you have all that in mind when you embarked on this project and tackled each film, each story?
Well, I think, all these stories have, that was definitely something from the beginning we thought of, that there's hope in all these stories, even in the great tragedies that we witnessed in a lot of the lives of the people.
Yeah.
Not everything is perfect. Most of these stories don't have a quote unquote happy ending. You know, it's not all buttoned up and perfect.
But they have a hopeful ending.
Absolutely. It's a hopeful, and it's something I like to use is this idea of kind of a raw hope. I mean, it's still some of the wounds are very real for a lot of these people, and they're very, some of them are open still, you know, but there is that hope, and it's really a hope that if you see these stories, it's a hope that these priests, these men, you know, the Novertines have brought to these people, and it's ultimately God's hope, but somebody had to deliver it to these people, and it came through this amazing group of fathers that we've had the privilege to meet. And so for me, my hope for the film is that people will be exposed to the incredible work of the Norbertines and how powerfully God is using them and working in the lives of real people, because all these people are just like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their struggles, they all have their tragedies, and they're looking for the hope. We're all looking for that silver lining, and it's beautiful that there's people like Father Norbert, Father Chrysostom, that have dedicated their entire lives to trying to show people that, point people in that direction. So,
well, you know, he's pretty humble for a director. I think you are so deferential, and I respect that, because I feel the same way about the Norbertine fathers. I've kind of expounded on them earlier. I said they're like a weather front coming on whenever you see them enter into a room. But Chuck, I think you cannot trivialize in any way the artistry that you're bringing to this and how you are taking their charism and you're putting it on film. And I love that. And I love that you're using social media to do it, making it so accessible to so many people and so relatable. It's a relatable story that people, every story is going to be relatable in some way and will really touch people's hearts. And the other thing that I just want to make sure people know, it's very intrinsically Catholic. I mean, it maybe isn't in your face Catholic, but it's just woven with that sort of knowledge and understanding that comes with our great faith. So with that, I'm afraid we're going to have to close and remind our listeners to go to cityofsaints.com and check out this fantastic series. You'll get a new one every Monday. And also go to stmichaelsabbey.com. Isn't that it? Mm-hmm. stmichaelsabbey.com to learn more about the Norbertine priests. Father Norbert, will you offer our listeners a quick blessing before we go?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, watch over, guide us, protect us, bless us, fill our hearts with the light and warmth of your Holy Spirit, and open us most especially to celebrating the joy of your Son's glorious resurrection, which dawns this very night. And we ask this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Charles.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Norbert. Thank you, Father Chrysostom. Thank you, listeners. Hey, before we say goodbye, and I wish you a most blessed Easter.
Same to
thank
you, Peggy.
All
Jimmy,
the grace
Chuck,
and peace be with
happy
you.
Easter.
Thank you, guys. Oh, boy, imagine having two priests in the studio on a Saturday, Holy Saturday morning. Hey, I want to remind our listeners that it's springtime, so you might be thinking about planning a trip for the summer or a trip for the fall. Why don't you plan a pilgrimage, and why don't you plan it here in the United States. Did you know that in only one trip, you can visit a religious shrine so beautiful it had to be divinely inspired, and the largest religious media outlet network in the whole world? They're located only an hour apart, the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament, inspired and designed by our own beautiful Mother Angelica, God rest her soul, who died a year ago on Easter Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't
wow.
that amazing? And it's an hour away from EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. You can visit the studios. You'll have time for silence, prayer, serenity, and you'll also get the excitement of a live studio show. It's got all the great components. And all you have to do for a good trip or a good pilgrimage, a very multisensory pilgrimage. I think that'd be really cool. My mother and my sisters and I are going to do that in the fall. We're doing a pilgrimage to Hanceville in Ironville, in Irondale.
Right, right.
So go to EWTN.com/pilgrimage or call 205-271-2966. They'll take care of all the details for you. So check it out. And also check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Give us a like, and we've got pictures and podcasts, all kinds of stuff. Jimmy G, happy Easter to you. May you have all the blessings of the season upon you and your family.
Same to you, Peggy.
And all our listeners too. I hope you have a beautiful rest of Holy Saturday and a most glorious Easter season. Don't forget to check out cityofsaints.com. That will totally complete your Easter season.
And we're going to take a picture or two that we will post on our Facebook page in about the next hour.
Picture of these fine Norbertine priests. But mostly we want you to come back again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.